This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Today, I'm really lucky and deeply honoured to be talking to Dame Sue Bagshaw. I had to get that in, who's incredibly well known in terms of the youth space and being an absolute advocate for our young people and marangatahi. We're going to be talking predominantly about all things youth and how we support our young people as parents. I need to also say that Sue is a youth primary care doctor. She also works as part of Te Tahi Youth and, of course, is the brains and innovator behind our youth hub Christchurch, which is well on its way to being real, true and available to support young people here. We're very lucky. Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space.
And it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. Super lovely to have you here. I know that you've been extremely busy, so I feel very, very lucky that you've come to join me. Tell me about what are you up to? I know there's lots of Youth Hub Christchurch. Yeah.
Well, it's a pleasure. I guess I think of the Youth Hub as a youth one-stop shop on steroids. Because what we tried to do when we first started the Youth One-Stop Shop was kind of look at all the things young people need to develop well.
Yeah.
And when I say young people, I mean 10 to 24-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then after the earthquakes here in Otatahi, it was kind of like nobody had anywhere to go. So we gathered together organisations who had sort of a youth focus on Barbados Street. And that was the first Youth Hub Barbados, which was kind of a model for bringing organisations together to work co-located, if you like.
Got it.
But then, of course, housing has been an issue forever.
Mm.
And so we really wanted to get some housing going. So the first part of the Youth Hub is the services and housing.
Yeah.
And now we're looking for money to add a bit more housing, but also kind of creative arts and recreation space.
Oh, beautiful.
Because that's the bit that heals. That's the bit that helps young people get their confidence that they need to do all the other things in life.
Yeah, yeah. Find what they're good at, enjoy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's really, because I hadn't known about that aspect of it, the recreational part of it as well. So basically, if I am a mum of a young person and they feel like they need some help and they could come in and you would see them in terms of their mental health, physical health, emotional health.
And also we'd help them get employment.
Yeah.
We'd give them legal advice if they need it.
Yeah.
And we would help them with income support.
Yeah.
And we would also give support to their families, especially young people with mental illness or young people who've got relatives with mental illness, give them support.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think who I've left out. Oh, the school nurses will have an office there.
Oh, cool.
And Takura will have a place for where young people can meet up with their tutors.
Well, that's a nice idea too.
And then on the roof, when we get to there, we're going to grow veggies. And there'll be a cafe where it'll be a vegetarian cafe. Guess what?
Sounds like I want to just be hanging out there, actually.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
What did you say the age of bracket was?
Well, you could actually, well, you could come and work there if you like.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I know. Well, yes, wouldn't that be? Cool. That's exciting. It's so nice to have this underway, and when are we looking?
Well, the wraparound services and the hostel housing, where people can be between 3 to 18 months, so long as they're looking for work or in training.
Okay.
While they kind of sort themselves out, basically, and that'll be ready. Well, the building will be finished July next year, but then it'll probably need some fit out time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking like
probably this time next year.
Next year. Wow.
Mm.
Oh, Exciting stuff. That's really cool. And how is Te Tahi Youth involved with that? Will they be on site?
Te Tahi Youth will be one of the main tenants.
Yeah, nice.
Along with Youth Voice Whakaronga Mai, which is a young people's organisation that supports young people coming out to take care.
Mm.
And Youth Line will be an anchor tenant.
Got it.
Mm. Okay. And then Qtopia and the Collaborative Trust for Research and Training will be there, mostly using the training rooms.
Yeah. I just actually thought we must get Qtopia here and yes. talk to them as well.
Mm. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be cool.
Mm.
Okay, cool. Is there anything else that I need to know about that as a parent, practitioner?
Well, the idea, what we're hoping is that Te Tahi is mostly appointments at the moment, okay. and that's the health side of things,
mm.
and youth worker support and counselling. And they're mostly appointments, so we're hoping to increase the amount of drop-in time we can provide. And then what I'd love to do is, that's why the first bit in the front with the creativity and the art centre mm-hmm. and the recreation is so important, because I wanted it to be a good place to be.
Yeah.
And then while you're here, would you like some help?
Mm.
So it's not nearly so stigmatising.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, agreed, isn't it? It's kind of like the first port of call needs to be a connection point.
Mm. And we'll focus on young people who haven't had such a good start in life
yeah.
for whatever reason. There'll be people from all sorts of places.
Yeah.
So we'll focus on helping them first, if you like. But really, it's for all people, because we'd love everybody to get to know each other, whatever their ethnicity, their economic background, whatever.
Love that.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Kate and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
So you've been working in the youth space for a really long time now. You know loads about this. You're ultra qualified. And it's a really cool opportunity to talk to you about the sorts of things that we worry about as parents of young people. What do you reckon we need to be mindful of as parents of teens and you know, well, 10 to the 24s, as you said, yeah?
Well, I usually say 10 to 24 because it's nurturing that second part of brain development, if you mm-hmm. like. So puberty, everything starts to change. The amygdala, which is the bit of the brain that looks out for danger and is growing.
Yeah.
And the dopamine receptors are being rearranged, yeah. and that's the bit. Some people like to say that young people take a lot of risks. Well, I'd like to reframe that.
Yeah.
I think it's more about they're seeking reward.
Right.
Because there's lots of dopamine around, but no receptors.
Got
so
it.
They're trying to make receptors to get that reward feeling. So helping young people to get good rewards from healthy stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than unhealthy stuff like yes. alcohol, cannabis, video gaming, watching porn. So to avoid that, get them busy doing stuff that gives them reward.
Yeah.
So the other thing about the brain changing at that time, because the amygdala makes them a bit more hyper alert, they're looking out for danger.
Mm-hmm.
If they've had troubles in the past, then that's already grown.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that earthquake babies
yeah.
and people who've been through earthquakes in their first few years of life, already their amygdala has grown.
Mm.
So that's why I think we're seeing so many anxious young people at the moment, because they're growing on an already grown amygdala, and so they're hyper alert. So calming things are really helpful,
yeah.
as well as kind of risky things to fill those dopamine things.
Yep.
So we're nurturing that brain development by helping them get activities that help that development, if you like. And the other thing that happens in puberty is that there's less GABA. And you might not know it, but GABA is a brain transmitter that you can make.
What? No, I did not know that.
There you go. I bet your parents don't know that.
No, so, I can't imagine they do.
You can make GABA by breathing out slowly.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, so when you go... That's when you make GABA.
Right.
And I reckon that's why people smoke.
Oh, that's interesting.
And yeah. why young people are vaping, because they're getting that, that lovely feel. And then in vaping, there's a reward because you see all the smoke come out.
Yeah.
And that calms you. Because people say, you know, if you ask somebody, why do you smoke? They say, but I'm stressed. Nicotine is a stimulant.
Yeah,
it's not the smoking.
It's not going to help at all.
Absolutely. But it's the breathing.
Got it.
So I suggest to young people who are trying to give up vaping, and I would encourage them to give up vaping, is get some paper straws, put them in a box. It doesn't have to be a cigarette box, but any kind of box.
Yeah.
And then when you feel stressed, you take a paper straw out, you breathe on it a few times until it's soggy, and then you're calm.
Right. So that's all of that deep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, diaphragmatic breathing that we know about.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and you're doing something with your hands.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So, yeah, it's a distraction thing as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So is that, that sounds like something, because we talk about that a lot with regard to young children. Well, we talk about, you know, just teaching our children to breathe well in order that they've got that available to them and, you know, to have mindful moments, calm moments, all those sorts of things. Yeah. So you're saying it's never too late?
Never too late, but also you need to do that as a parent of a teenager. Because usually the shoe's on the other foot and it's you getting angry as opposed to the teenager.
Yeah.
And because they know just how to press all your buttons.
And that's so sort of nonchalant about it.
I mean, they've lived with you for 13, 14, 15 years, and they know exactly how to make you flip and therefore get their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you that needs to practice the breathing.
Yeah.
Because unless you're calm, you won't be able to calm your teenager.
Quite.
Because they're being driven by their amygdalas, which are growing, and your input, your calmness will help actually get the teenager calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So modelling, and finding some techniques that support you.
Yeah. But the most important thing is acknowledging emotion.
Yeah.
Because we all know, you know, if you're stressed out and you're feeling stressed out, say, for instance, I always use this analogy because it kind of fits.
Mm-hmm.
When you're setting out in the morning, you're just about to go out in the car, but you've lost your keys.
Mm.
You're already a bit late.
Mm.
And you panic.
Yeah.
That's what teenagers are doing most of the time.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking with their amygdalas, because the bit that calms the amygdala is not developed yet.
Yeah.
And so what do you feel like doing to the person who comes along and says, now, when did you last have them? You want to hit them, don't you?
Pretty much.
Exactly. So that's just how teenagers feel when we do that to them. Mm. We do that to them all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. I love the T-shirt that says, no, you calm down.
Quite. We all need those.
Totally. But the thing is, be mindful of that. Acknowledge the emotion. Say, oh, no, that's terrible. You've lost your keys. Oh, no, that's awful. How can I help?
Yeah.
When did you last have them?
Yeah.
So you acknowledge the emotion first, and then you're introducing that logical thought, which they're still developing.
Mm.
And the other thing I think for parents to remember is it doesn't happen at a set age.
Yeah, right.
Because it's linked to puberty. And puberty can start as young as 8 or as old as 16.
Mm.
And it's that change in the hormone levels that seem to start that changing brain.
Yeah.
And the amygdala growing.
Yeah.
So really important, don't go by age, listen.
Yeah.
The most important thing is listening.
Yeah.
And don't say, oh, but she's 14 and should be able to do all this now. Sorry, doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and it's not the same journey that you had.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you've really got to listen to where they're at.
Yeah.
Listen to whether they can have, if you like, hold more than one idea at a time.
Yeah.
You know, I must admit I was a parent that thought you should give your teenagers, you know, chances and opportunities to make decisions. So I say, well, you could do this and this might happen. You could do this and this might happen. And they'd say, no, no, no. I'd overloaded their circuits. Mm. There weren't enough circuits that had gone live yet.
Yeah.
So we're nurturing those circuits to go live. And really good ways of doing that is listening, feeding back to them so they get what they're saying, giving them opportunities to do things and develop skills. And the biggest need, I think, for teenagers is to belong.
Yeah.
So help foster a sense of belonging in your family.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah.
And if you can't, because there's all sorts of other things happening in your family, then help them to belong to a group of some sort. It could be a music group, a dance group, a kapahaka group. It doesn't really matter what kind of group, although gangs aren't so healthy.
Mm.
But that's often where young people go if they can't find another group.
Yeah, quite. Quite.
So sports groups are brilliant because they have a caring adult.
Yeah.
They have a skill that you're developing.
Yeah.
And you belong.
Yeah.
And you can contribute.
And generally they have a really great coach who cares an awful lot and is giving them continual feedback and lots of praise.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, that sports tends to drop off when you're a teenager.
Yes.
And it's trying to encourage them to keep going through that awkward phase. I'm trying to get Sport Canterbury to actually start supporting club sports a bit more for school children because often teenagers don't want to get into the competitive stuff. They, you know, getting to the first 15 or the first 11 or whatever is just too hard.
Yeah.
So if you could encourage more clubs to start earlier when they're teenagers on a Wednesday afternoon and a Saturday type of thing, it would be so beneficial.
It's so true, isn't it? Because you do play competitively, you know, until the age of where things become awkward, 13, 14, whatever.
Mm.
And then what I notice is that young people are really happy to play socially, but if they don't have that available to them, they're out of sport.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So dance groups are great, music groups are great, because they mostly have an adult who supervises them, coaches them, teaches them.
Yeah. Or the things that they're particularly passionate about, those groups as well seem to be really useful too.
So encouraging them to have extra interests is so helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's really cool. It's really interesting. I just before this interview, my daughter had rung me and she told me some great news and blah, blah, blah. And I was just being quiet because I was just outside the studio. And it was amazing how tuned into me she was. Mm. And it just struck me about how much she listens to me. And so she said to me, you don't sound that keen. And I was just like, I'm sorry, I'm just in a place where, you know, I don't want to disturb people and But it's really interesting that she was really listening to see whether or not I was going to encourage, you know, my thoughts and feelings were around it, which I never recognised were that important to her because, you know, sometimes she just does it anyway, depending, you know, doesn't matter what I think. Yeah.
No, that's so true. Interesting enough, we do a survey of school students every 5 or 6 years, depending on the money available.
Yeah.
And the last one was done in 2019, but in every single one between 2001, 2012, 2019, every single one has shown that teenagers feel they need more time with their parents.
Mm.
50% of them think that. So we are really, really important to teenagers and grandparents too.
Yeah.
I reckon you should have maternal, paternal leave at puberty as well as at the first 2 years of life. Because, you know, they need us. They really do.
Even though they don't look like they need us.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Because it's just, they're kind of like going through the dependency phase, going to the independent phase, and then hopefully as they get older they learn to be interdependent.
Yeah.
And that's what we as parents need to be teaching them, really, that yes, independence is great, but actually when you work together with other people, kotahitanga, then you do better.
Mm.
There's a lovely program called Eitu Tangata, which was created in order to stop bullying, actually.
Oh, interesting.
And its three tenets are, you have value, or actually I have value, you matter, and together we can be better.
Mm.
Isn't that great?
That is really great.
Yeah. If we can encourage young people in our families or wherever to help them to realise they do have value.
Yeah.
And that, you know, other people matter.
Mm.
And doing things together will be so good.
And I think that you're right, because one of the things that I think that creates a sense of anxiety for young people is that, you know, we make the mistake of, when are you going to get a job and what are you going to do when you leave school and, you know, you must get these qualifications and and it's all that kind of like independent thinking rather than, you know, how can I support you to, or what do you reckon we and kind of, it's quite a different approach to what we're used to, I think.
A lot of young people feel highly pressured at the moment. The kind of ethos of, if you don't work, you're a bad person, is totally out there.
Mm.
And it's sort of an underlying assumption of our society, actually, which is really sad because it's just more to life than just work.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. And there's things like, you know, helping other people.
Yeah.
And volunteering, good for people.
Yeah. The things that bring us joy.
Yeah. And actually get that satisfaction of seeing somebody do better because of what you've done is amazing.
Yeah. So it sounds like as parents, what we can be doing to support our young people is, you know, teaching them to breathe, you know, and teaching ourselves to breathe properly. But also the other thing is kind of tuning in to the stuff that it appears that they're naturally interested in, and supporting that no matter what it is.
Absolutely.
And having no kind of judgment around that. So, because I know that a lot of us think that our children should be good at sports because we were good at sports. Mm. And so it's really weird that they've stopped playing rugby or whatever. Or we think that they should be really artsy because we were artsy. And it's just kind of like we need to allow them to find what it is that they love doing.
Absolutely, because they're so different from you.
Yeah.
The genetics gets mixed up like mad.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the past it was very much you did what your dad did or you did what your mum did. Mm. But that's so changing now because now there's such a bigger range of things that they can do. So not pressuring them into things is a really important thing.
And also and you know, as a part of that too, that talking and listening.
And you're right, tuning in is a lovely way of putting it, because they're not going to listen to you if you don't listen to them.
And that's also, speaking of tuning in, they're highly attuned to that, aren't they? That's what I notice. It's just kind of like, if I'm off, then, you know, they're just not interested, you know.
The emotional contact, that emotional communication is very strong because the cortex isn't there to go, don't be so silly.
Hang on, let's just put some perspective in place.
That's
our job, actually, as parents, I think. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you? I'm always amazed and surprised that we do this thing as a society where our children are going through adolescence. Their brain is in phenomenal change, and we put them under enormous amounts of stress and pressure with exams that are somehow very meaningful, and then choosing a study career path. I don't want to ask you why do we do that, but it's kind of like...
It's the system, and we need to change the system.
Yeah.
And employers actually are asking, I think, not for bits of paper anymore. They used to, but now they want skills. They want somebody who's got integrity, who will come on time, and who will work hard. And exams and credit collection doesn't actually do that. So I think what we need is to change our, you know, there's loads of information out there. What we need to be teaching is critical thinking.
Mm.
How do we make sense of the information?
Mm.
Who said it? Why? What were they trying to achieve?
Mm.
And what are they trying to make me do that I don't really actually want to do?
Mm.
Or do I agree with them? So it's kind of like critically thinking about everything you read or see.
Yeah.
Whether it be Google or a book or whatever.
Yeah.
And definitely social media in terms of Insta and TikTok. Because the problem is, with the social media stuff, you're kept in your own bubble.
Mm.
All the algorithm stuff that they work on keeps you in your own bubble.
Yeah.
So you've got to go outside of that if you're going to be a whole person.
Yeah, it only feeds what you want to know because it understands what you've looked up in the past and what you're spending time on.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, that's right, in order to support us. And that's anyone. That's
so we as adults need to be doing that.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and it's so easy to get, caught in our own way of thinking and thinking that that's the only way. And, that is, really interesting. Best advice to parents struggling with teens?
Definitely listen.
Yeah.
Definitely trying to find out what's important to them.
Yeah.
Because we all make decisions based on what's important to us.
Mm.
So definitely listen, find out what's important to them, and kind of work with them in terms of how they're developing to enhance that development, keep them talking.
Yeah. You
know, family meals.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah. Cool. And let go of what you think they should be doing and turning out like. Like, yeah. Allow them to be them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. So in terms of our top tips, I'm making Sue do it because she's much better at this than I am. Here she goes.
Well, I think number one will be listen and make kind of mould your relationship with your kids in terms of what you would like that relationship to be rather than in terms of what you want them to be.
Mm.
Make sure that you realise they're different people.
Mm.
I mean, actually, that's why I think it's quite good to have more than one child, because if your first child's great, then you go, oh, it's just me. Such a good parent. And then you find the next child's terrible. You think, oh, no, that's not me. So, you know, they're different from you.
Yeah.
And really important to make your own values clear.
Yeah.
Because when you are clear about your values, they can then help. You can help them define their own.
Yeah.
And they may well be different from yours. Don't get disappointed if they are, because that's important to them, that they have some benchmark of what your values are, so that you're helping them to think about what theirs are.
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting point about values, because I grew up not knowing that I had values until it felt like they were staring me in the face.
Yeah.
And I could see the real difference in my own values to my parents' values as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that comes in, that's part of culture in a way too.
Yeah.
So be proud of your culture.
Quite.
Europeans often aren't, but tell them about their grandparents and their great-grandparents.
Yeah.
So you feel they have roots.
Yeah.
And you've got those values from those roots.
Yeah, how you came to be part of this place.
Yeah. Just not... Whakapapa is not just for Māori.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, that's true. Love that. Absolutely love that. And, you know, just reflecting on it as a mum myself, as now 19-year-old, and how incredibly proud I am, actually, of seeing this young person emerge, and I just have no doubt that you know, these are going to be the guys that change the world. Yeah. Hey?
And being proud of your young person, the best.
Yeah, seeing their strengths. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to have Sue on today. I really want to reiterate that if you are interested in Youth Hub Christchurch, as we talked about in the early parts of the show, then you can go to Youth Hub Chitchat and find all about it. And if you are as impressed as I am, press donate now and give a little in order that we can keep this initiative going.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing.
Bye!